We are beginning the new year by looking at some of the different encounters that people had with Jesus throughout the Gospels. And I challenged you last week to pick one of the Gospels to read through during the month of January while we're going through this series. And it's not too late to start. If you haven't done that yet, go ahead and pick one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and just start reading. And you'll see all the different encounters that people had with Jesus and see how it changed their life. The truth is, an encounter with Jesus is life-changing. And that's what I hope for you throughout this series, is that through the study of these different encounters, that you too will have a life-changing experience with an encounter with Jesus, whether that be for the first time, or maybe the second time, or third time, or who knows how many times. I just know that throughout my life, there are moments when I need to encounter Jesus. And so I pray that you experience that over the month of January as we kick off 2019. We started last week by looking at Nathanael's encounter with Jesus. Nathanael was one of Jesus' closest followers. He became one of the 12 disciples. And he was skeptical at first. And if you remember, if you were here, that we all need to come and see for ourselves who Jesus really is. And so we talked about that last week. This week, we meet a madman, and he's crazy. We don't know his name. All we know is that he was possessed by demons, a ton of demons, a lot of demons. And he was out of control. He was dangerous. And one night, he had an encounter with Jesus that changed his life. This story is found in three of the Gospels. I'm going to be looking at the one found in Mark chapter 5. Just before this encounter, though, the disciples and Jesus were on a boat on the Sea of Galilee. And it was evening time. It was probably getting dark already. Jesus had been teaching all day. He had been surrounded by people, and he was tired, and he was actually sleeping in the boat. And they were traveling to the other side of the Sea of Galilee when a storm rolled in. And this storm was huge. In fact, it says the disciples were scared for their lives. And some of these guys spent their life on the water. They were experienced with the boat and with the body of water. And they were afraid for their lives. And so they wake Jesus up. They want him to be scared too, or maybe he would help them out. And they wake him up, and Jesus quiets the storm. He speaks, and the wind stops. And they're amazed. But by this time, the storm had pushed them kind of to where they were wanting to go anyway, toward the other side of the lake. The storm pushed them to the east side of the sea. And by this time, it was nighttime. It was dark. They were ready to settle down. Imagine the disciples and all that adrenaline rushing out of their body. They're crashing. They're ready to sleep. They're ready to set up camp for the night and get some rest and be ready for the new day tomorrow. This is when they meet this crazy man, this madman. Jesus just demonstrated his power over the natural world. He's getting ready to demonstrate his power over the supernatural, because Jesus is Lord of all, natural and supernatural. And this encounter, like I said, is found in Mark 5, verses 1 through 20. And we're going to read all those verses today, but I'm going to split them up. We're going to look at verses 1 through 10 first, and then we'll get to the remaining ones in just a moment. But let's begin by reading Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out of the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with chains. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered around the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus saw was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. And with a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." And then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. This encounter is creepy, to say the least. And it's creepy for a few different reasons. First of all, we're dealing with this demon-possessed man. And it's not just one demon, but it's many. A legion in that time, a Roman legion, was considered to be about 6,000. And so there are a ton of demons. This is someone who doesn't just make you uncomfortable. He's possessed. He's crazy. He howls in the sky and cuts himself with sharp stones. So that's the first reason. The second reason is it happens close to a cemetery. That's creepy too. And at night. Have you ever been at a cemetery at night? It's not fun. And yes, I have been. The other reason this is creepy, we don't really get, but this is actually in Gentile territory. And so Jesus and the disciples are out of the territory of God's people. They're in Gentile territory. And for them, this would be uncomfortable because they would have a better chance of coming into contact with something that is unclean. So there's creepiness all over this story. And like I said, that's probably an understatement. If we were present here, we would be scared out of our minds. And personally, I don't like to be scared. I don't enjoy scary movies. I don't watch them. I don't do Halloween horror nights. Anything that has to do with ghosts or demons or anything, I steer clear of. I just don't like doing that. It even comes down to, like, I don't really like being in big buildings at night all by myself. Even this building is a little creepy at night when you're here all by yourself. There's noises in this building. I don't know. The windows out there in the lobby, the wind, they rattle, and it's creepy. I don't enjoy it. Now, I know I look kind of scary myself, and you may think that I'd fit right in, but I don't. It's uncomfortable. And then, I don't know how you are, but I can freak myself out in situations that shouldn't be scary at all. You know, you're in a situation like being in a building all by yourself. It's really shouldn't be that scary, but you hear a noise, and then your mind begins to go places, and you wonder, what could that be? In the town close to where I used to live in Illinois, there was a spiritualist church. And church is kind of taken lightly there. It's not a church like we think of, like we're doing now, where we come together and worship God. No, they worship the spirit realm, spirits. They communicate with the dead. They have seances. And in this particular church, they would conjure up spirits, and one of their biggest stories was Abraham Lincoln has appeared there before because it's central Illinois. And but it was about 10 miles from where I lived. And one night, me and a couple of my friends, we went to a movie that happened to be in this town. It was a small movie theater, much like St. Cloud Twin, if you've ever been there. It's old, kind of hometown movie theater. And after the movie, we decided we would drive by this church and take a look. And so we're in a pickup truck, and we're sitting three wide, and we pull up to this church, and it's nighttime, it's after a movie. And we begin telling some of the stories that we've heard about this place, and we're looking around. And all of a sudden, we hear a noise in the truck. And we all stop. And the noise stops. So we began to talk again, and we're looking out the window, and the noise started again, and we stopped. And we're like, what are we doing here? Like, we felt like we invited Abraham Lincoln into the truck with us or something, you know. We're like, we got to get out of here. And we're driving home, and come to find out, it was a popcorn bag that was tucked down in between two of us. And when we would move, the bag would rustle. And when we'd stop, the bag would stop. Oh, man. This encounter we're talking about today is way more than stories and popcorn bags. I can't even imagine what it would have been like to be on the shore that night. I would have been scared out of my mind. Think about what the disciples must have been thinking. Look, think about the emotional roller coaster they've been on that night. They went from being afraid of dying to Jesus calming the storm to having their adrenaline flow out of them and they're just drained to this crazy man possessed by demons and standing in front of them. At that point, I'm pretty sure some of them wanted to go back to the storm. I mean, I would have been like, let's get back in the boat and get out of here. And remember, we're looking at this encounter between this man and Jesus. This man is suffering. He has no control over what he's doing. He has no dignity because of these demons. The other accounts of the story said he was naked. He has no dignity. He has no self-worth. He cuts himself. He's suffering because of these spirits. And so as we look at these 10 verses that we just read, there are two things I want you to remember when you are suffering. When you are going through something, I mean, not like this, but you're suffering. The first thing to remember is this. Jesus is more powerful than whatever we are suffering with. In this case, it's demons. In our case, it may be an abusive relationship or neglect or oppression. It may be an addiction. I don't know what it might be. But I do know this. Jesus is more powerful than that. And the demons know this. They know Jesus is more powerful than they are. What do they do when they see him? They bow before him and call him Son of the Most High God. They beg him, take it easy on us, Jesus. Oh, please, don't torment us. Don't send us off to some far off place. Don't torture us. Don't punish us. This is the same Jesus that we encounter. He is more powerful than anything we may be going through. In 1 John 4:4, it says, the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in this world. Jesus' very own words in John 16:33 says, here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Jesus has more power than anything we will face here on this earth. And yes, that verse does say we will have trials and sorrows. We will suffer here on this earth. But that's not the end. Jesus conquered the world. He overcame it. He conquered death. And we will too. And so when you're suffering, remember, please remember that Jesus is more powerful than what you're suffering with. The second thing to remember is this. Jesus cares for you. And he wants you to experience freedom. He didn't want this man to suffer any longer. In fact, if you read the text, if you read it again, you'll see that Jesus cast out the demons before they even got into a conversation. He cared for this man, and he surely cares for us too. This man was an outcast, living on the fringe of society, living in the tombs. He was violent. He was a Gentile. He wasn't even part of God's people yet. Yet Jesus cared for him. And Jesus cares for you, and he wants you to experience freedom. He wants you to be free. Now, like I said, this won't mean we won't have troubles. It won't mean we won't struggle. We won't ever suffer. But he cares for you, and he wants you to be free. Remember that when you're suffering. Now you might be sitting there thinking like, if Jesus is so powerful and if he really does care for me, why hasn't he dealt with my issue? Why hasn't he healed me? Why hasn't he liberated me? If he wants me to experience freedom, why hasn't he set me free? And I'm just going to be honest with you this morning. If you feel this way, it just might be your perspective and not what actually Jesus has done for you. You see, we are focused on the physical while Jesus is dealing with the spiritual. We are focused on the here and now while Jesus is focused on eternal things. And so we may be suffering from some disease or some heartache or something, but Jesus is more concerned with your spirit and your soul than he is maybe what you're dealing with physically. And that's hard for us to swallow sometimes. That's hard for us to understand. The freedom Jesus has for you is really to be set free from the bondage of sin, to be set free from death. He may not take away some health issue or some other trial you might be going through, but that doesn't mean he hasn't set you free. Think about this. You might have a bigger impact in the kingdom with whatever you're suffering with than if he took it away. You may be able to do more for Jesus with that suffering than you would if he would take it away. The truth is, he will set you free, free from sin. John 8:36, he says, "So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free." Remember these two things when you suffer. Jesus is more powerful than whatever it is you're going through, and he wants to set you free. Let's get back to our text. Let's finish our story today. Now remember, the demons are begging Jesus not to torture them, not to punish them, and to take it easy on them. And we pick up in verse 11. "There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. 'Send us into these pigs,' the spirits begged. 'Let us enter them.' So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged deep down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to a nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by a legion of demons. He was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. And the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, 'No, go home to your family. Tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been.' So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus has done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them." I want you to notice two things that happens when Jesus does set you free. The first is this: people's reactions might surprise you. If this happened today, Peter would have a heyday. 2,000 pigs destroyed. Jesus would have to take to Twitter and make a public apology. He'd probably be making the rounds with Kevin Hart right now, you know, trying to make things right. It would be a mess. I look at this, I'm more upset about all the bacon that just disappeared. The truth is, though, Jesus has been criticized for a long time for this. There are people who are disgusted that Jesus would do this. Here are a couple things to remember. First, pigs were considered unclean to the Jews. Jesus simply wouldn't have been that concerned about the pigs. There's nothing sacred there for him. Second, it wasn't Jesus' idea anyway for the demons to go there. The demons begged to go there, and Jesus allowed them to. And then demons did what demons do. They bring destruction. And don't forget, Jesus valued one man's soul over pigs. But look at the people's reactions. They're afraid of Jesus and they ask him to leave. They knew how powerful this possessed man was, but when they come in contact with the power of Jesus, they are terrified. Please leave. But when Jesus does this, they know his power is different. They're terrified. And they see their cash crop disappear, their money, their income. It disappears. And so here we see the people, they become more concerned about the pigs than they do this man. They should have rejoiced with him. They should have invited Jesus to stay. Imagine what Jesus could have done for them. The truth is, when you experience freedom, some people won't get it. You would think that they would be happy and they'd want to celebrate. But they're more worried about the pigs. And some of you know this. You've experienced this. You've been set free from Jesus. And people around you don't understand. They don't get it. In fact, some of them may not believe it. They're more concerned about other things. And then there are some people who they want to experience freedom, but they won't pursue Jesus because they know how people react. They know that people won't get it. When Jesus sets you free, people's reactions might surprise you. The other thing to notice is this. When Jesus sets you free, there is work to be done. I find this so interesting in this story that the man begs to go with Jesus, and Jesus says no. He said, I want to follow you. I want to be with you. And Jesus said, no, you need to go home. He wants to stay as close to Jesus as possible. Maybe he's worried that the demons will find him again, or some other demons will find him. He'll end up back in the same situation. Maybe he realizes that he's been so far removed from his family and things have gone so wrong that how would they ever accept him back? Maybe he just really loves Jesus and wants to be with him. And we might go through this too. We experience freedom. We experience Jesus setting us free, this encounter with Jesus. And we want to be as close to Jesus as possible. We don't want it to end. We don't want things to go back to the way they were before. We want to keep things exactly the way they were when we had that moment. We see this a lot with what we call mountaintop experiences. It might happen at a retreat or a camp or maybe even in a worship service, or it even happens at CIY, where you have this experience, this encounter with Jesus, and you even hear people say, I wish it could be like this back home, or I don't want this to ever end. We have this encounter with Jesus, and we want to stay right there. The interesting thing is Jesus says no. He tells this man, go be with your family and tell them all that God has done for you. Tell them how he had mercy on you. You see, there's work to be done. Jesus might want us to go and tell others what he has done for us and how merciful he has been to us. And the instructions are simple. He says, tell two things. Tell them what God has done and tell them about his mercy. And I think sometimes we overcomplicate what Jesus wants us to do. We think about all the questions we won't be able to answer. We think about the confrontations that we might have. He says, no, tell them two things. Tell them your story about what I've done for you and tell them how much mercy I have given you. You see, it's not that difficult. Tell your story. Tell what God has done. How merciful he is. When Jesus sets you free, he doesn't want you to keep it all for yourself. He doesn't want you to hide it away and retreat. No, there's work to be done. The interesting thing is, Jesus would visit this area again. He would come back later in his ministry. And the reception was much different. They were welcoming. Jesus was actually able to teach and perform miracles. And it might just be because of this one man's testimony. It might just be that he went and he told his story. And they were more welcoming to Jesus the next time. If you are suffering this morning, please remember that Jesus is more powerful than whatever it might be. He's more powerful than whatever you might be dealing with, and he cares for you, and he wants you to experience freedom. Please remember that, if that's you today. But if Jesus has set you free, if you sit here today and you know that Jesus has set you free, don't be surprised by the way people react. And please get busy, because there's work to be done. Tell your story. Tell what God has done for you and how merciful he really is. Amen. You stand. Father, I pray right now for those who need to be set free. Father, we know that you are more powerful than anything we may face. You are more powerful than the enemy. You are more powerful than our addictions, our circumstances, or anything else, Lord. I pray these people have an encounter with Jesus and he sets them free today. And Father, I also pray for those of us who have been set free. I pray we don't get distracted by what others say. I pray we get to work and we share our story. And Father, as we go into this time of reflection, Lord, I pray you move in our hearts. You help us know exactly what you would want us to do right now. And Father, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.